God will have his way and not the enemy. Amen? So we're going to bring this forth because the enemy is consistently trying to stop me from bringing the word forth. But in Jesus' name, the word is going to go forth and I'm healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you can all turn to the chapter 15 in the book of John, in the Gospel of John.
Amen. The true vine.
This chapter is Jesus is teaching his disciples by via of a metaphor. You know, a metaphor is a story.
Yes. That
uses something different. And it relates it to a spiritual principle. Amen. And it's a metaphor to convey something else. Okay. So he uses this metaphor of the vine, but we're not speaking of the vine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So in chapter 15, Jesus, they've just left the Last Supper. And they're on their way to the Mount of Olives. Amen. And from there, they will be going to the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. And so, see, Jesus knows that his arrest and his going to the cross is very soon. So he's talking to his disciples to encourage them, to show them how they can remain in him, what they have to do, because like he knows that persecution is coming. Yeah. So in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Amen? And so he says, I am the true vine. I am. So when Jesus says, I am, what is he saying? Amen? What is he saying? Amen? Do you know that the term I am was used in Exodus, right? It was used, the burning bush, when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And Moses said, Who do I say called me? Who do I say spoke to me? And the Lord says, I am who I am. So Jesus uses this phrase, I am. And the Jews understood this phrase, that he was what? That he was identifying himself with the eternal God.
Yep, that's God.
The unchanging one, the self-existent one. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He gives himself that title, I am. Hallelujah. So right there, they understood. Amen? They understood. And then he said, I am what? He said, I am the true vine. Amen? So this is when he starts to use this metaphor to speak. You know, Jesus spoke in metaphors and parables, right? And at one time he told his disciples, asked him, why do you do this? And he said, because it's not for them to understand. It's for you to understand. Mm-hmm. But did he do that on purpose? No, he knew that people's hearts were hardened. They didn't want to hear. So here he is speaking to them, and he says, I am the true vine. Amen? So, you know, the true, he uses the word true. And in the Greek, that word is alithenos. And that word means it's not only something that resembles something, that word in the Greek meant the very nature. The very nature. He says, I am Alethinos. I am the truth. I don't resemble the truth. I am the real thing. Amen? I'm the genuine thing. There is nothing like this truth. I am the truth. I am the truth, the true vine. Amen? Jesus is and was all that God intended for him to be. Amen? He complied with everything that God wanted till the very end, because he went to the cross because that's what the Father wanted. Amen? We know that, right? We know the struggle he had in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he went forth and did what God wanted him to do. Amen? He is the truth. He is the true vine. Amen? And let me stop. This is what God wants from us. He wants the truth. He wants total truth from us, whether it's good or bad. He wants the truth from us. In order to follow him, we have to walk in truth. Amen? And not all of us do all the time. So picture this. Have you seen images of a grapevine? If not, go on Google and Google mm-hmm. grapevine. That's what I did. mm-hmm. And the grapevines, you have a strong middle vine. And then you have the branches coming out. And at the end of the branches, there's clumps of grapes. Amen? There's clumps of grapes. Hallelujah. And so, who does the vine represent? He said, I am the true vine. The vine is a picture of Jesus. And he said, later on, he says, you're the branches. So the branches represent us. Amen? Believers and so-called believers. And the grapes represent the works. The works we do. Amen?
Amen.
And there's a farmer. The farmer has to do his work, right? So the farmer is a representation of God the Father. Amen? So Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Amen? He prunes why? That it may bear more fruit. You see? Jesus wanted to let his disciples know that there had to be an abiding, that they had to be in him. Hallelujah. And Jesus shows us. Look what he says. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. All right? So that's what? That's the branch that's bearing fruit. But he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So the first stipulation that he makes, every branch in me, okay? So there's got to be an abiding. We have to abide in Christ, amen? So he makes a distinction, those that bear fruit and those that don't. Are we talking about fruit? Are we talking about grapes? No, it's about works. We're talking about works. Amen? So the dead fruit represent those that produce no fruit. Amen? He gets rid of the dead wood. Just like a farmer prunes the dead branches, he cuts them off. He gets rid of those that have bugs and disease. He cuts them off. But he prunes those that are truly in
producing, yes.
Producing. You see, the dead wood is a picture of apostate Christians. What does that mean? What that means is those that say, I believe, but have not really believed, have not really accepted Christ as their Lord. You got to accept him not only as Savior, but as Lord. And so people, and they fill the churches. People that say, they believe, but in their hearts, they have not genuinely believed. Those are apostate Christians. In the end, he's going to cut off those branches. But the true Christians, he prunes.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let me tell you something. If you go to James chapter 2, verses 17 to 20, it says, thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. And I will show you my faith by my works. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? That's not about that's not that you get salvation through works. Because salvation only comes through believing Jesus Christ as Lord. But once you have believed and there is faith, works comes. Works come. Works come naturally because you are attached to the vine. Amen. You are attached to Christ. Amen. Fruit cannot be produced if the branches are not attached to the vine. Amen? God prunes true believers. God prunes us. Amen? He removes the things in our lives that don't please him. Amen? He removes the things that hinder works. How does he do this? He does this via the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is in you. How many times has the Holy Spirit not convicted us that you're not doing something, that we're not doing something? How many times has the Holy Spirit said, I want you to do this and this, and we ignore it? Because nobody knows. Only we know what the Spirit is saying to us. Amen? So it's by conviction. Once you're attached to the vine, once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you truly have accepted him, works have to come. That's what he says in James. I will show you my faith through my works. Faith without works is dead.
Dead.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He proves us via the Spirit so that we can have spiritual growth. Amen. And that spiritual growth is evidenced by our works. They have to line up with what God wants. Amen? Now, see what he says to the apostles. See what he says to them. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. See, the work of pruning and of cleansing had already begun in his disciples, apostles, because of what? Because of the word he had spoken to them. Remember, they were with him 3.5 years. Were they perfect? No. But he constantly spoke the word to them, constantly spoke the word. They were in constant communion with God, with Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
That's why they were cleansed. Because, you know, in other places in the scripture, God says, I speak what the Father tells me. I do what the Father tells me. He was conveying this to them. And in that sense, he was cleaning them because he was giving them the word. Cleansing comes through the word. That's where cleansing comes from. It's through the word. Hallelujah. He was cleansing them. He was cleaning them. He was pruning them. Because remember, these were not pastors. Theologians, people that knew the Hebrews, you know, that practiced and preached the Hebrew scriptures. No, these were men that he called. Most of them were fishermen. One was a tax collector. You know, he called these people, and the word. We have to hear the word. Hallelujah. We have cleaning is done by what?
Word.
Amen.
Word.
Doesn't he say that hearing comes by the word? Amen. By the word of God. That we should renew our minds by the word of God.
Amen.
That's how renewal comes. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what does this say to us? That we have to stay in the word. That it's not only about a Sunday service. If your extent in the word is this service, that's not going to help you. I'm going to be honest with you. That's not going to help you. You got to search the word on your own. You got to let, and I got to let God to speak to us individually. How do you know what a person, what I'm saying is true, or what the pastor's saying is true, if you're not in the word?
That's right.
I'm not in the word. You know, people that know me know that when I was in New York with the church, I used to take people with me to conferences, to different places, and I would tell them this: I'm going to sit in the back. If you want to ride with me, you got to be ready to leave when I leave, because I'm going to sit in the back. Mm-hmm. And when the word is contrary to the word, I'm out of there. But how would I know that if I wasn't in the word?
Amen.
No,
amen.
When you go to different places, if what you're hearing is the word of God, and unless you're in the word.
That's right.
So they were in the word. They were in Jesus. They were in Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you can say, you are already cleansed. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. You know, in the book of John, chapter 13, Jesus is bathing their feet. Jesus is bathing the feet, right? And you know, remember John, Peter, you know, Peter, the bold Peter. Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet, because he was looking at himself. Ooh. How am I going to let the master wash my feet, my dirty feet?
Uh-huh.
Jesus said, if I don't wash my feet, you're not with me. You're not part of me. And Peter said, well, wash my whole body. And Jesus said, no, you have no need of washing your whole body. Because mm-hmm. they were with him, and they were already cleansed. They were born again. And this is a picture of the pruning. See, we're born again. We are saved. Hallelujah. But pruning continues. Amen. The washing continues, but it's not about salvation. Mm-hmm. It's about preparing us to bear fruit, to bear works. You go to 1 John 1:9, and it says, if we confess our sins, John was speaking to those that were followers of Christ. John was speaking to us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen?
Amen.
See, they were already clean. We are already clean, but the pruning continues. When the pruning stops, you better be ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because we will all be pruned for the rest of this life until we're in a glorified body, until the resurrection, or we die and he calls us home before that. The pruning continues. We are not perfect in and of ourselves. It is the word, the rewashing of the word continuously, the conviction as we read the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God says it's a mirror. Have we not sometimes gone like this and closed our ears when a preacher is saying something that doesn't please us?
Mm-hmm.
That's conviction from the Holy Spirit saying, mm-hmm, you need to check yourself in that area.
Yep.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So, this explains the pruning continues. You don't have to wash your whole body. You just have to wash the feet. You just have to confess the sins and let the word of God wash you, and you have to repent. We sin in thought. We might not sin in deed, but many times we sin in, mm-hmm, thought. Get offended. Offense is not of God. I was told that a long time ago when I got offended.
Mm-hmm.
It's not of God. You know, when you have an attitude about somebody or something, God is not the one giving you the attitude. We've been anger. We've done that. I've done that. That's not of God. He needs to continuously prune us. If we're real believers, amen, he will continue to prune us. In verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So here's the picture of the vine, the branches, and the fruit. If that branch is cut off from the vine, it can't bear fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? If we're cut off from the Lord, if we decide this is not for us, if we decide that we don't want to submit to the word of God, we cut ourselves off. And how can you bear fruit? How can you do works if you're not really believing? He says, it cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
Amen. You see? See what Jesus said? Abide in me and I in you. It's a mutual relationship. He will abide in us as we abide in him. It's a choice. You decide to do this on your own. You think you can do it on your own. Or you decide to abide in him. You decide that you can do this walk on your own. We cannot do this walk on our own.
Amen.
Know what this world is like? Do you see the violence? Do you see the sexual crisis with identity? Do you see the sexual violence?
Mm-hmm.
You're dividing in the branch. Somebody has to give them the word. Somebody has to have the heart for the loss. Somebody's heart has to break for the loss. But only Christ can make our hearts break.
In
the world, our heart is not going to break. But if we live in Christ, our hearts are going to break for the loss.
Amen.
Our hearts are going to give them the word. The Holy Spirit will make an opportunity. Don't speak when the Holy Spirit is not speaking. There is no anointing. You cannot, and I cannot change anything unless we are guided by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Spirit says speak, don't hold it back. Speak. Hallelujah. See, Jesus was saying that you can't be a fruit unless you abide in me. Abiding. A continuous relationship. It's not, I love you. Don't tell me tomorrow what I can or cannot do. It's got to be constant, continuous. But he indicated to his disciples, and therefore to us, it's a choice. He's not going to force us to abide in him. We have to choose. Choose this day whom you will serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will never force us. Amen. And without Christ in us, I mean really living in us, the works that we do are the works of the flesh. You could do good stuff, but if it's not in Christ, you're doing it for acclamation, accreditation. You're doing it because you want other people to see what you're doing. You want glory from men, but God says, don't do your works before men. Do your works in secret that God is glorified. And he says, then I will reward you. We cannot look for rewards from men. And by men, you know what I mean. Indicative of men and women, of humans. We have to do our works quietly, as the Lord tells us to do it, to do it. And to do it to whom? Whomever. God is going to make us reach out to the lost and those that don't believe so they can see how gracious our God is. Now, somebody read verse 6 for me.
If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt.
This is a picture of judgment, right? Right? They're gathered into the fire. If anyone does not abide in me, it's not speaking of us, it's speaking of unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because in the end, let me tell you something about hell. Hell wasn't made for people.
That's right.
People chose to go to hell. If they don't believe. That's judgment. They will be thrown into the fire. We don't want to hear that. We think that we forget that our God is a consuming fire. We forget the wrath of God is coming at the tribulation. It's not coming for believers. It's coming for the dead branches. So do you have dead branches in your life? Mm-hmm. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the opportunity to speak to them. But be led by the Spirit. Amen? Don't take a Bible and knock them over the head. They're not going to listen to that. But pray that the Holy Spirit gives you an opportunity to share the gospel with them.
Amen.
Who wants their children to go to hell? No. Who wants their grandchildren to go to hell? Not me. So we have to be led by the Spirit. I'm a little brazen with my grandchildren, but anyway, I tell them, you know, and one of them said to me, Grandma, why are you telling us we're going to hell? Because I said that. But I had to shake them because they're so complacent. It's whatever happened, whatever we want, we do. Wherever we want to go, we go, you know. But we got to give them the word of God. But we have to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 7. How about someone read number 7?
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you.
Amen. And read number 8.
By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Amen. So what shall the Father do for you? What shall the Father do for you? And is there a condition to asking and receiving? Amen? Hallelujah. What does he say? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Amen? Abiding in Christ, and his word has to be abiding in us. Amen? Mm-hmm. How does his word abide in you? How does his word abide in me? It's not listening to a Sunday sermon. Because let me tell you something. I've been asking a few people about things that they went to and they heard and all that. And that, oh, this is what they said. Oh, it was amazing. Oh, it was awesome. And I'm saying, what was the word? What was the word? And they go, well, it was amazing. They couldn't tell me what the word was. So that's not how, I mean, it was amazing. It was good. It was all this. But they don't remember the word. Why? Because nothing will implant that word in you unless you do it yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you are in the word. You have to be, I have to be in the word. So his word abide has to abide in us. And then he says, if so, you can ask for whatever and he will give it to you. Amen? Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And because the Holy Spirit dwells in you and the word, which is Jesus, the word and the word, and the written word and Jesus are the same. Because when he comes, he's going to have written on his thigh, the word of God. Amen? So if the word, the literal word, the written word abides in you, you'll know what to ask for. Right? Because it's according to what is written in the word. You're not going to ask for your girlfriend's husband. Because that's not in the word. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? You're not going to ask for something that belongs, whether it's a spiritual gift or anything else that belongs, that God has given to someone else. You're not going to ask for that. Amen? Because you know, we don't covet what God has given somebody else. We're all unique in Christ. There's a special work for each person to do. And we cannot compare ourselves to each other. Each person is unique, is one. You know what unique means? One. Is one in the eyes of God. Amen? Each person, hallelujah. So we have to abide in the word. First of all, we have to be born again, right? He cleansed the apostles. They now knew who they were. They were cleansed. They were born again. And then they had to work 3.5 years. Why do you think most seminaries are 3.5 years, or they used to be, or Bible schools, 3.5 years? Because that's how long Christ was with his disciples, preaching the word. So he says, when these are aligned, when he abides in me and the word abides in me, there's an alignment. There is an alignment. And what will happen? We will have works. We will have much works. Many works. We will bear much fruit. Because when the whole, you know, the Lord showed this to me many years ago. We are supposed to be channels of the Holy Spirit. Through our works, we are, and I hate to use the word channeling because New Age uses that all over the place. But we are supposed to be channels for the work of God. Because it is God who is inspiring you to do the work. And it is God who's giving you the means to do the work. But if we don't do the work, God doesn't have to do anything. Right? Mm-hmm. If you don't take a leap of faith and step off of that branch and jump, God doesn't have to catch you. It's a leap of faith. You gotta have faith. And the word says, you will bear much fruit. It's a visible sign that we are disciples of Christ. And then what's happened? The Father is glorified. Jesus always points to his Father. He wants his Father to be glorified. Amen?
Amen.
And so your works will glorify the Father if they're done out of a pure heart. Amen? And God reads our hearts. And sometimes we don't have a pure heart. Sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we do things because we have to do them. Sometimes we're so hurt that we minister out of hurt. Or minister by minister, I don't mean that. We do things. We minister to people. We do things to people out of hurt or whatever. But that's not what God wants. Mm-hmm. And if we abide in him and his word abides in us, the minute we get there, what happens? Conviction from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This happened to me. Conviction from the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, if somebody will read verse 9.
I will. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love.
And we can.
If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love.
Amen. Amen. So how do we keep the love of the Lord? Amen. By keeping his
commandments. Word. Yeah.
That's right. Keeping his word. But how can you keep his word if you don't know his word for yourself? You're not going to get the full word from the pulpit. You're not. You're not going to get the full word in 52 Sundays.
Right.
Oh, I know.
We have to get in his word. Amen. We have to keep his commandments. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to take you to a different scripture. Go to John 14, verses 22 and 23. This is all in the book of John. This is a chapter right before it. They're all talking. Somebody read that. John 14, verses 22 to 23. Whoever reads it has to read it loud so I can hear. Okay, Pastor, read it.
All right. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
Amen. What was Judas, and again, not Iscariot, not the one that betrayed him, says to him, you know, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us? Have we not spoken of the manifested presence of God?
Mm-hmm.
Look. God is everywhere. That's the presence of God. But the manifested presence of God is when he enters the church, he enters your room, and you know without a shadow of doubt that the mighty God is there with you. That's the manifested presence of God. And that will happen when we keep his commandments. Could you imagine if all of us make a commitment to keep the word of God, keep his commandments, this church would be full of his manifested presence. Because that's what he says. Mm-hmm. They're asking, what do you mean? How do you say that you're going to manifest yourself to us if you keep my words, mm-hmm. if you keep my mm-hmm. commandments? So if everyone reads the word and we know it, and we start following his commandments through the letter, in the spirit, of the letter also, he would manifest himself in this church every Sunday. Because that's what the word says. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse 11. Dorcas, you got verse 11? Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes, I have verse 11.
Let me see. Go to verse 11 through 13.
Okay. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Continue.
Yes.
Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, and if you do whatever I command you.
No, not and. If you do. There's no and.
Forgive me. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Why? Why is Jesus saying this? Because he's going to the cross. You remember? He's on his way to the garden. That's where he prays to the Father to take the cross from him. He was fully God, but he was fully human. Imagine going to the cross. He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says that his sweat is like blood. He only took three of the apostles, you know who they are, Peter, James, and John, into the garden with him. He made the others wait outside. He took them. And his heart, he is grieving. So if he's grieving, if he's in agony, he knows what his apostles are going to go through once he's gone. Right? And we know because we read the word, right? Mm-hmm. They scattered. They were afraid. So he knows this is going to happen to them. He knows that they're going to be persecuted. But he wanted to reassure them. Because he knows, even though they don't really understand, when he was saying the third day your joy will return to you, he said that in other scriptures, they didn't really understand him. But he knew the third day he would rise again and they would see him. Amen? So he wants to encourage them. Don't we say, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
He wanted his joy to be in them. He was trying to assure them. See, when we live a life in the Lord, in communion with God and his word, we should be able to withstand persecution, right?
Yes.
Because he said in other scriptures, if they've persecuted me, they will persecute you. People that say, oh, hallelujah, I'm a Christian, nothing's going to happen to me. That's not what the word says. The word says you will be persecuted. How many people mock you? How many people laugh? How many people disqualify you? How many people say, oh, you're such an idiot to believe in an invisible God? You're so dumb to give your tithe. How many people say that? They mock us. Amen. But Jesus knew. And if you were following current events, the whole world is getting worse. Christians are being persecuted just for preaching the word in the street. And I'm talking about in Western countries. I'm not talking in Islamic countries, because that's a done deal. But in Western countries, pastors are being persecuted and mocked and ridiculed, and even told to stop preaching the word on street corners. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we will, you know, if you look at the world, how many have been martyred in this current age because of they were Christians. Mm-hmm. So we'll be able to stand. Verse 15. Lisa, you have verse 15?
Yes. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Keep going?
No.
Okay.
So Jesus, isn't he our master? Mm-hmm. Isn't he the master? Amen? And yet, he doesn't call us servants. He calls us friends. Amen? Takes me back to the Old Testament when Abraham, when God called Abraham his friend. Imagine someone that's Lord over you. In earlier times, lords did not call the people that were under them and worked for them friends. But God has chosen to call us friends. He has every right to call us servants or slaves because he's the creator. Amen?
Amen?
The word says all things were made by the word and all things were made by this invisible God. Amen? Hallelujah. So, and he says, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go out and bear fruit. So he's already chosen us to do the works that will glorify the Father and that our works will remain. Amen. That the works won't dissolve like nothing, like we did nothing. That the works will remain. But the only way that's going to happen is if we dwell, if we abide, if we have residence in him and him in us. Amen? You know, there's, and I don't remember the exact verse, but it's probably in the book of John, where Jesus, we're told that our works will be tested, whether they remain or not. If they will burn up in the fire, they're no good. So what kind of works are we doing? That's the thing. And we have to ask God to give us a pure heart. If you don't have a pure heart for a particular work, don't do it. Because like they say in Spanish, and we're all Spanish here, de nada vale. A work that is not centered in Christ is worth nothing. Mm-hmm. If it's not in your heart to do something, don't do it. God will raise somebody else to do it. God is not broke. God, I remember when Elijah said to the Lord, after Jezebel was going to kill him, he said, I'm the only one left. Only I have followed you. And God said to him, no, I have 7,000 who have not bent the knee to Baal, the false god. Mm-hmm. So God's got others than us. Amen. So when God asks you to do something, pray and say, and be honest, God, my heart is not in this, but I'll do whatever you want and cleanse me and cleanse my heart and give me the strength to do this. He's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. If you don't have $100 to give to a person, God is not going to ask you to give it to him. So there's no condemnation. You understand? No condemnation. God doesn't condemn. He convicts. But if you have it, or if God tells you, go help this person, and you don't feel like doing it, conviction will come. Amen? So how does our fruit remain? Amen? Our fruit remains, hallelujah, if we stay in Christ, if we stay in his word, hallelujah, if he abides in us. Amen? And verse 17, and we're ending, he says, these things I command you that you love one another. Amen? That we love one. Sometimes it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people have done stuff to you and you don't want to love them. And we don't want to forgive people. But Jesus forgave us. And I'm not saying that it's easy, because I know people I don't want to forgive. But we have to ask God. We have to ask him, help me to forgive. Forgiveness is a thing that you do, but you do it genuinely. It doesn't mean you have to associate with anybody. It doesn't mean you have to hang out with that person, but in your heart and before the Lord, forgive that person. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And let and abide in his love. He gave his life for us. And I guess because it was, how many years ago, Pastor? 2,000 odd years ago? He gave his life for us, or maybe 1,900 and something years ago? Mm-hmm. He went to the cross. And he did feel it. He was human. He felt the crown of thorns. He felt the spear in his heart. He felt when he couldn't breathe, when they hung him on that cross, and his lungs compressed that he couldn't breathe. Oh, God, help us to be more like you. So how do we abide in Christ? I can give you a list of things. You know, first is salvation, abiding in his word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Living in that word, worshiping, you know, trusting him. Even in the midst of persecution, trusting him. Because that's a big one. When we start getting persecuted, we say, where are you, God? Where are you, God? Why don't you do this? Haven't I done this for you? Haven't I done that for you? But you have to stand. You have to stand. Because we are pilgrims passing through. This world, you have to realize that this world is not our home.
That's right.
It's not our home. Don't just want to accumulate stuff that you can't take with you. Because we're going to a place where the streets are paved of gold. We're going to a place where the fruit trees just bloom all year long. We're going to a place where the glory of God is present. That there's no sun, there's no moon, because the light of God is enough. We have to come to that realization. We're here temporarily. This world is going to be destroyed. That's what the word says.
Yes.
It's going to be a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For 1,000 years. And you know what? Read Galatians 5, 22 to 24. And read 2 Peter 1, 5 to 8. Begin to read those. And you see what God requires of us. Amen. And if you don't feel it, be honest with God. Be honest. When I don't feel like doing something, I tell God. I tell him. I say, Lord, I don't want to do this. Lord, I don't want to feel this way. Lord, but I give you permission to change my heart. Change my heart, Lord. Change my heart. Give me a heart like David. You said David had a heart after you, a heart that loved you. King David. And King David murdered people. He was a man of war. And yet he had a heart after God. That's what the word says. So I hope that you all get this idea. It's not about things you do of your own. It's not about your degrees. Amen. It's not about where we go. Pastor and I have been there. We go to conferences. We go to teachings. I've done that. I did that for over 15, 20, 30 years, since 1985. But I came to the realization that they could not fill my heart. Only God can. It's not about things. It's about relationship. Right? Our God is a relational God, and he wants to have intimacy with us. And intimacy involves a lot of things. Worship, being in the word, hallelujah. You know, constantly, it's him, abide in him and keeping his commandments. Before you do something, run it by the Holy Spirit. He's in you. Does this conform with you? Does this conform with what you want in my life? It may be something good. It doesn't necessarily have to be bad. Going to seminary, going to conferences, going to retreats, going to other churches, those are not bad things. But ask God, what do you want me to do? Let it be yours. Amen? You possess it. Let it be yours. Don't let it be Pastor Ruth's or Pastor Bernice's, or let it be yours and God. Do what God is calling you to do. Be faithful to him. Hallelujah. Be in a relationship where you know without a shadow of a doubt, amen, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords resides in you, dwells in you, and that's better than everything else. Don't expect your glory from people.
Trey.
People don't want to give you glory. That's the honest truth, right, Pastor? People don't want to give you glory, but your glory comes from God.
That's right.
Your glory, Pastor, comes from God. Mm-hmm. Your glory, Lisa, Liz, Hector, Dorcas, Elsie, Yolanda, Ma, your glory comes from God. And that's the glory, because we will be glorified with him. That's the glory that no one can take from you. Mm-hmm. If we abide in his presence and his word abides in us and we keep his commandments, then we have a right to ask, because we will know what to ask for. You're all blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the word that's been in my spirit for months, but I just couldn't bring it forth until this week. Amen. God bless you.